Hallelujah. Well, so much for notes. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. I'm just believing that the Holy Ghost is going to teach you today, because I only found out a few minutes before worship started that I was going to do the service this morning. The Bible says you're always to be ready, though, so I'm always ready because he lives inside of me. You know, the greater one lives inside of me. He's greater than he who lives in the world. Amen. Romans chapter 4. I want to talk a little bit about faith. You can never have too much faith. So Romans chapter 4. And I want to begin right with verse 1. There we go. I want to read it up there. No, I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Stop for just a minute. Was Abraham doing works to be justified? Or was he doing something else? Well, we really don't know yet. But it says if Abraham was justified by works, then he could go boast. But he couldn't boast to God. You know, I want to boast in God. I want to boast that God did whatever it is that's happening through me. Amen. Amen? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Doesn't say he did anything else. Little quick story. 33 years ago, I was in St. Joseph Hospital in Tacoma. I'll be real truthful with you. I was in the mental ward. St. Joseph Hospital in Tacoma. I put myself in there. I found out what was going on later, but I was having some issues, and I did not know how to handle them. Talked with my brother-in-law, and at his suggestion, I put myself in there. Wrong thing to do, wrong place to be. Of course, I wasn't serving God then, okay? And those people are crazy on that floor, by the way. I found that out. And I actually was in the padded. The cells are padded. I can't call it a cell because there was no door. So a room. I guess a room is a cell, though. But they are padded. You can throw yourself against the wall and not get hurt. Anyways, about the third day I was in there, I decided I didn't belong in there. And I needed to get out. And I knew that because I signed myself in, I could sign myself out. I read the paperwork, so I wasn't crazy. But before I did that, the night before that, I got so just down and out, I don't know what to call it, I cried out to God. Now, here's a man not serving God. Doesn't want anything to do with God, if you want to know the truth at that time. And I cried out to God, and I said, God, if you're real, get me out of this, and I'll serve you. The next day I went home. Saw a shrink as an outpatient for a year until he finally told me to quit analyzing him. Seriously. He said, that's it, I'm done with you. And for 18 or 19 years, I went back to doing what I was doing before I went in there. I'm standing talking to Brother Tim at my desk one day. God tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, remember what you said to me? I'm here to collect. It's time for you to start serving me. I had to believe God on nothing except believing God. That's what faith is. Faith isn't something you can see. It isn't something you can touch. It isn't something you can taste. It's God drops it in your heart, in your spirit. And until you open your heart and allow him to do that, you're never going to have faith. You're never going to be able to believe God until you open your heart and allow that to happen. Abraham, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham had to have opened his heart to what God had to say. He had to have listened and goes, oh, that's all I got to do? That's it? It's that easy? That's what confuses the world. It's that easy? They can't believe it. No, I have to do something besides that. No, it's that easy. You just believe God. Verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If I try to work, and we're talking now about not about a job, okay, not about a physical job to support your family. We're talking about working to get faith. You can't work to get faith. God says it's not counted as grace, it's counted as a debt. If it's a debt, it's something you owe, not something you're getting. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies who? The ungodly. That's where I was. I was the ungodly. I didn't want nothing to do with him until I couldn't on my own get what I wanted. Isn't that interesting? Until I needed something or someone that I didn't have. My wife couldn't even give me what I needed. In fact, she was probably happy that I put myself in the hospital at that time because of things that were going on. And I, you know, don't need to get them. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Abraham's belief in God, strictly his belief in God, God said, you're righteous now. I'm righteous. Josh is righteous. Pastor C is righteous. Juanita is righteous. Chris is righteous. If you have believed in God, you're righteous. It's not a brag. It's not a boast. Well, yes, it is. It's a boast in God because God did it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit of Christ? If you received it by works of the law, raise your hand. Because I'm not going to see a single hand in here. Can't happen. The only way you can receive the Spirit of Christ is by faith. When I called out on him and said, Lord, I need you. I make you my Lord. Then he became my Savior. If he's not your Lord, he can't be your Savior. See, sinner's prayer, I never pray it where you're asking Jesus to be your Savior. Come and be my Lord. I might add, and Savior. But it's always Lord first because he must be your Lord before he can be your Savior. You must give your life completely to him by faith so that he is in control of everything you think, do, and say Not that he's making you do it, but that he's guiding you and leading you before he can be your Savior. If you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to accept faith. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Paul was talking to a group of people here who were starting to go back to their worldly ways. They were starting to rely on themselves again. They were starting to rely on the things of the world and not the things that came from Christ. And he had to address it. What is faith? Faith is believing on him just because he's who he is. Not because you can see him, not because you can feel him, not because you can see him at work, although you may feel him. I've felt him many times. One in particular that comes to mind was the old church in Silverdale. Man, that love was so great. That hug was so awesome. Have I felt it since then? Not the same, but I have felt it. See, because that was a welcome home hug to a long-lost soul. Amen? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, he was addressing the fact that they were trying to do things according to the law again. They were letting the law back in. And Paul's telling them, you can't, the one who works among you does things by faith, not by the works of the law. You've got to believe him, and you've got to let him work in your life. You've got to understand that the works of the law didn't save anybody. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham, all he did was believe God. God said, if you do this, you're righteous. God said to me that day, just believe in me, I'll get you out of here. See, I made the commitment. God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. See, you have to be careful what you say. Even if you say it in your heart. You're snared by your words, whether they're spoken or whether they're just thought in the heart. God honored that. See, I said, I'll serve you. God said, okay, someday you're going to. My timing, though, not mine, his. You know, I went and did my own thing, and he let me do it until I was at a point where I needed him again. I didn't think so at the time. I wasn't down and out. I wasn't in the hospital again. But in here, I needed him. And he caused, I like to say it this way, he dropped a bombshell, and it went off in here. I read a book once called The Empty Spot. It's just a little track, I think Joan Pierce's book, matter of fact, talked about the empty spot in here. And you're always looking for something to fill that empty spot. And the world goes out looking for love in all the wrong places. But God's Spirit is what's supposed to fill that empty spot. And when he does that, you know that you know that you know. And he did that day. And I looked at Tim, and I said the most stupid sentence I've ever said as far as listening to what I said. I said, Tim, I want to know God, but I don't know how. And after I said, I go, what did you say? Well, I didn't know how. I didn't. But in here, I wanted to very badly. Well, God honored it. Amen. Verse 7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Well, you know, do you want to be a son of Abraham or a son of God? Well, Abraham's considered the father of faith for us. I'm a son of Abraham, but I'm also a son of God. And I'm a brother to Jesus. Did you get that? He's my brother. I'm a co-heir to everything Jesus has in the kingdom of God. Therefore, I can never be poor. I can never be destitute. I can never be down and out. My daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and his streets are made of gold, people, not paved with gold. The difference is a pavement is on top of something. Made of is all the way through. Huh? My Bible says they're made of gold. It doesn't say they're paved. I've heard people say they're paved. No, no. He said they're made of gold. That's usually thicker. thicker, however you want to say it. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, see, that's us, non-Jews, the heathen people. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those of you who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Romans chapter 4. Actually, let's back up to verse 20. Start with verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I got to go back to 19, sorry. It's all too good. We might have to start at the beginning. No, well, let's start with 19. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, talking about Abraham. And not being weak in faith, Abraham, not being weak in faith, just because he believed, that's all he did, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. God gets all the glory, even here. I had nothing to do with it. And being fully, my Bible says convinced, I like the word persuaded, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. But here's the kicker, folks. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 23, don't stop. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, to Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. By faith, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it unto him to righteousness. By faith, I believed God when he said, I'll make you my son, and he accounted it unto me for righteousness. I did not have to go out and change my life, clean up my life, get myself all pretty and out of sin before I believed God. Couldn't do it on my own. God had to do it. When I came to God, I was the sinner heathen that I was. And God said, okay, now let me clean you. Now let me change you. That's the part where you make him your Lord. That's the part where if he's not your Lord, he can't be your Savior. Because if you won't let him make changes in your life, you haven't made him your Lord. God has to change you. I don't care who you are. The day you give your life to him, God has to to start making changes in your life. You could have been born in a Christian family, been raised in a church, but the day you give your life to God and make Him your Lord, He will start making changes in your life. Always for the better, but He will start making changes. 33 years ago, when I cried out to Him, did I think I would be where I am today? If you'd have told me I was, I would have ran the other way. I told you the story. High school, I skipped most of my speech classes. I hated getting up in front of people and talking. What do they do in the military? They hand you, I went to leadership school, they hand you a piece of paper and say, get up, talk on that subject for 3 minutes. Hand it to you like that. Some of the craziest things got handed to you too. If you're going to be a leader, you have to be able to address people. He's laughing at me right now. I know he is. That's okay. I don't care. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4 again, please. Verse 10. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to talk about the law. The law brings a curse. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Notice the wording there. Let me read that one more time. You're under the curse if you're under the law, because cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. If you're under the law, you have to keep every single jot and tittle of the law in order to be blessed. It's impossible. There are not 10 commandments in the law. There are 613 different commandments in the Old Testament that are law. And you cannot keep all 613 all the time, I guarantee you. You will mess up. That's why when Jesus came, He gave us 2 commandments. And He said, if you'll keep these 2 commandments, you keep all of them. Amen. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There was an excellent teaching in 1997 at Dominion Camp Meeting in Cincinnati, Ohio, delivered by Creflo Dollar at Rod Parsley's church on the just living by faith. I have that thing, and I pull it out, and I listen to it, or I watch it. I have it on DVD on a regular basis. I've worn out the tapes. I had the VHS tapes. I got it on originally. I had to transfer it to DVD while I still had enough to transfer. It is an awesome teaching on the just, or the just being justified by faith. And it's not that he's that good a preacher. It's just the way he brought it out. God supernaturally had him deliver that message that night. Yet, verse 12, yet the law is not of faith. Everybody say, the law is not faith.
The law is not faith.
Thank you. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. If you choose to do the law, then you're under the law and you have to live by it. Your choice. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Go over to Romans chapter 8 quickly. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. You could replace the word flesh there with the law. Amen. But according to the Spirit. Verse 2, this is the most important one. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the most important law that you need to know about in this Bible. If you're under the law of the Spirit of life, it is greater than any other law in that Bible. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from every single thing in the curse. You feed on that law, even mosquitoes will not bite you. I have a story on that. They will not. They'll fall off. They land and fall off. Everybody else is killing mosquitoes that night. I finally opened my eyes to see what was going on. How come the mosquitoes are terrible, I got told. We were praying out in the driveway in eastern Washington in dusk. Aren't they bothering you? No, I'm not getting bit. Look down. They're landing on me and falling off, not flying away. I had been feeding on the law of the Spirit of life for the last 2 weeks before that. I was full of it, if you will. The law of the Spirit of life. Praise God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death if you are living by faith. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, you have been set free from the law of sin and death. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that if you've sinned, sin brings death. Jesus said, I'll set you free. Now, the body's still going to die someday, okay? But not my spirit. My spirit will live forever. And I know where, and I know who I'll be with. He's already showed me the seat at the right hand of God. That's my seat. It's a pretty big seat, though, because there's a lot of people in it. Jesus is number one in it. Okay? I'm on his lap. I don't know where you guys are. I don't know who's on my lap, but praise God. Hallelujah. Where do we leave off here in Galatians? Let's go back to Galatians. Verse 14. Galatians chapter 3. Sorry about running you around there. Not me, though. I was giving them. Praise God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. I got to read 13 again first. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's the promise of the Spirit? What's the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham was God deemed him righteous because he believed in God. That's the blessing of Abraham. If you're walking righteous before God, you've got to be blessed, don't you? No, I'd be more blessed. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. He's talking about the covenant ratified by Jesus Christ between God and mankind cut with Abraham. Nobody can annul it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. If I'm in Christ, if Christ is my Lord, every promise given to Christ by God the Father is mine. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says that in Him resides the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in bodily form on the earth. If I have Jesus inside of me, I have Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit, and I have the Father. Therefore, anything that's theirs has to be mine. They're living in me. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years after the covenant that God cut with Abraham, the law came 430 years later, did not annul or change that covenant with Abraham. Cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise no effect. That promise is ours. For it is the inheritance is of the law. It is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Say, God promised me an inheritance. And it's mine. Now, how do you get something that's been promised to you? Or that somebody offers to you? How do you get it? You take it. That's not being greedy when it's been offered to you, okay? When you take something that's not offered, that's when it's greedy. But when it's offered or given freely and you don't take it, you miss out. If I walked up to Brother Matt and handed him a $1,000 bill and said, here, Matt, this is yours, and he goes, nah, he's not going to get blessed. But if he reaches out and takes it, he just got blessed. Well, it's the same thing with the inheritance. God promised me an inheritance. He said, it's yours. Fine, I'm taking it home. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven. Can't spend my inheritance in heaven. Amen? I'm going to walk in that healing and health here on earth. Notice I didn't talk about the money. I went right straight to health. I believe that we have the right, by the right of the promise and inheritance, to walk in divine health and healing right here on earth. There's no reason for us to have to wait for our glorified bodies to walk in healing and health. He said in His Word, as it is in heaven, so on earth. Only if we reach and take it. And how do you do that? By faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's give you this example. If I decide to go spend the weekend in a motel down at the ocean, and I call ahead and I make reservations, and they read me back a confirmation number. Okay? Can I see my reservations? Can I see my room? But by faith, I have a number that guarantees me a room when I get there. And if there isn't a room, they have a problem. They're going to have to build me one or empty one, because I have confirmation I have a room. That's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't see. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Short and sweet. Amen? He said, I'm done. Hallelujah.